Once again, the journey and the return from Lion Tree Camp to Windhoek took her truck driver 8 days. And Son Tan wondered more than once during that time if she had not left it too late. The child in her was big and urgent. Impatiently it demanded release. So that, when she at last heard the distant beat of the motors of the returning vehicles, her relief was intense. From the canvas flap she watched the arrival. In the lead truck rode Lothar Delarey, and though she tried to ignore it, she felt her pulse quicken when she watched him climb down from the cab, tall and elegant and graceful, despite the dust and heat of the long journey. The next traveller, whom Lothar handed down from the truck, took Santan by surprise, a nun in habit and hood of the Benedictine order. "I told him a nurse. I didn't expect a sister," she muttered angrily. In the back of the truck were two young Nama girls, golden brown skins and pretty little cheerful pug faces, each of them with an infant on her hip, their breasts heavy with milk beneath the cotton print trade dresses they wore, so much alike that they must be sisters. The wet nurses, she realized. And now that they were here, these brown strangers of another race that would give suck to her child, Santen felt the first truly bitter pang of regret at what she must do. Lothar came to her tent, his bearing still aloof and reserved, and handed her a packet of letters before introducing the nun to her. "This is Sister Emiliana of the Hospital of St. Anne," he told her. "She is of my mother's family, a cousin. She is a trained midwife, but she speaks only German. We can rely upon her completely." A gaunt, white-faced woman, Sister Emiliana, had the smell of dried rose petals about her, and her eyes were frosty and disapproving as she looked at Santan and said something to Lothar. "She wishes to examine you," Lothar translated. "I will return later to discuss the work you have for my company."
"She does not like me."
Santan returned Sister Emiliana's flat, hostile stare, and Lothar hesitated before he explained. "She does not approve of our bargain. Her whole life is devoted to the birth and care of babies. She does not understand how you can give up your own infant. As is apparent, neither do I."
"Tell her that I do not like her either, but she is to perform the task she came for and not place herself in judgment over me."
"Santan," he protested. "Tell her," Santan insisted, and they spoke rapidly in German before he turned back to Santan.
"She says that you understand each other. That is good.
She has come only for the child. As to judgment, she leaves that to our Heavenly Father."
"Tell her to get on with the examination, then."
After Sister Emiliana had finished and left, Santan read her letters. There was one from Gary Courtney, full of all of Tienus Kral's news, and at the end he had affixed Shasa's inky thumbprint below his own signature, with the notation, "Michelle Courtney, his mark." Anna's voluminous wad of notepaper, covered with her large, ill-formed scrawl, though difficult to decipher, left Santen with a warm afterglow of pleasure. Then she broke the seal on Abraham Abrahams's letter, the last in the package.
"My dear Mrs. Courtney, your letter and Dr. Twentyman Jones' intelligence have thrown me into a fever of incredulous amazement. I cannot find the words to express my admiration for your achievement, nor the pleasure I feel for your great good fortune. However, I will not weary you with my felicitations, and will come directly to business. Dr. Twentyman Jones and I have conducted extensive negotiations with the directors and managers of the Standard Bank, who have studied and evaluated the samples and report. The bank has agreed to make available to you a loan at 5.5% interest per annum in the sum of £100,000. You may draw upon this as you require it, and it is further agreed that this is merely a preliminary figure and that additional amounts will be forthcoming to you in the future. The loan is secured by the claim deeds of the Harney Mine. Dr. Twentyman Jones has also met with Mr. Lothar Delarey and set out for him in detail the requirements of Phase 1 of the development of the property. Mr. Delarey has tendered a contract price of £5,000 for the commission of this work. By virtue of your authority, I have accepted this tender and delivered to him the initial payment of £1,000, for which I hold his receipt."
Santin skimmed through the rest of the letter, smiling at Abraham's comment.
"I have sent you the stores you required. However, I am much intrigued by the 24 mosquito nets you have asked for. Perhaps one day you will explain what you intend to do with these, and thereby allay my burning curiosity."
Then she set the letter aside for later rereading and sent for Lothar. He came immediately.
"Sister Emiliana assures me that all is well, that the pregnancy proceeds naturally without any complication, and that it is very nearly over."
Santin nodded and indicated the camp chair facing her.
"I have not yet congratulated you on your discovery," he said as he sat down. "Dr. Twentyman Jones puts a conservative value on your mining property of £3 million. It almost surpasses belief, Santin."
She inclined her head slightly and told him in a straight and level voice, "As you are working for me and because of the circumstances of our personal relationship, I believe the correct address in future will be Mrs. Courtney. The use of my given name suggests a familiarity that no longer exists between us."
His smile shriveled and died. He remained silent.
"Now for the work you have undertaken, let us discuss it."
"You wish me to begin at once, not after the birth?"
"At once, sir," she said sharply, "and I will personally oversee the clearing of the tunnel that leads into the valley, which is the first step. We will begin tomorrow night."